Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, good. I've got the comedy chair. Hang on. This is the Chris Moyle Show with Scott Mills. Good morning.
It's like you've fallen to the floor. Oops. Do you want a new one?
No, I'm good. That was Dr. Dre, I Need a Doctor, and then Planetary Go by My Chemical Romance. Right, we nearly made it till the end of the week. Hello, I'm Scott. Sorry, the chair is really doing my head in. Give me a second. You're right, Becky. Oh, whoa. Right down now.
Is that you or the chair?
Okay, I can just see your feet now.
This is good.
Whoa.
I can just see your
and
very
I'm back.
Shiny waistcoat.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. You know when you get dressed in the dark?
Tell everyone what it looks like.
Okay, well, I've got two gilets. I'm all about the gilets at the moment. I've got a winter one and I've got a summer one. This is
the
now the summer one.
Great summer one.
And it's looking, it looks like I've just been to some kind of leather club. It looked better when I put it on at 5 a.m. Now here in the light of the studio, not so much.
And what happened to your bottom half? You were meant to wear your bum skimmers today.
No.
Did you think that we mixed
with the leather thing,
rubber club gilet?
With the faux leather gilet was not a good look for me.
It might be a bit over the top for this time in the morning.
No, because where we are this morning, and I know in a lot of the UK, it's quite cold and it's misty and foggy. Later, I'm sure it will be short weather, but at the moment, there's no room for the budgie smugglers. Not right now. They weren't ever going to be them anyway. I put this on Twitter yesterday. I was like, ugh, don't wear bum skimmers. I'm not going to wear those. I've never worn those in my life. They'll be, you know, tasteful and down to at least the knee.
I've seen those holiday photos.
Yeah, but I'm not on holiday.
I was only joking, but the look in your eyes tells me that there are pictures
no, there
that
aren't.
Do exist.
You can check my shorts drawer if you want. They do not exist.
What's an offer?
Now, you know when you hear a bit of information, but you only hear the very end of someone's conversation. It's a bit like only hearing the punchline of the joke and not the bit before. Like when Dev was doing his comedy with all the other BBC radio people the other week. We didn't even need to really hear the beginning part of the joke from Radio 4's Jenny Murray.
We don't call it that anymore.
Thank you. Just the punchline is enough. And Dev's won.
You're probably not wearing any pants either, right?
See, I don't really care what the beginning bit was, because we've got the punchline and sometimes that's better. What did you overhear in the doctor's surgery yesterday?
Definitely because the trousers were too tight.
Who was saying that?
Some doctors who were discussing a patient, obviously.
Obviously quite, what, to you?
Well, no, not to me, but I've been waiting in the waiting room so long that I just thought I'll just listen to whatever I can.
So the nurse or the doctor didn't come out to the waiting room and go, yeah, it's because his trousers are too tight, because that's a break of confidentiality, I would suggest.
What I love on Twitter is that someone thought they'd accidentally rested their arm on the, would Rebecca please come to room one button, so that I was listening to everything that was going on in the room. I wasn't. They were just chatting in the corridor.
You love
Can
overheard
you imagine
stuff.
Imagine if that happened, though.
You tweet overheard stuff on the train all the time.
Yeah, and I was sitting there and I thought, I can probably get away with this. As long as you didn't give too much information.
Yeah. So what was the punchline again? Not the punchline, but you know what I mean? The bit you heard?
And it's definitely because the trousers were too tight.
See, I do want to know the rest now. What else do you know?
Nothing.
Really? Is that it? You promised me.
Yeah.
Right, no, that's not... Okay, stop the music. What else do you know?
Well, that was the punchline, but I don't know the start of the joke. I only know the middle and the end. Something to do with an ingrowing hair.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Pro Green, who just failed his driving test. Sorry, I know to keep mentioning it, but he slipped from third into fifth.
Oh!
Is that right? Hang on. Oh, he went into third instead of fifth. Thanks, one that doesn't speak. Oh! The instructor wouldn't have liked that much.
No.
No. But it's hard driving. At least he didn't have a cat under the car when he was doing a three-point turn like mine on my driving licence.
Really?
Licence? On my lesson, yeah. On my second test, halfway through the three-point turn, I've told you this a million times. Am I boring you?
No.
Have you heard this story before?
I don't think I have.
One that doesn't speak's heard it about 25 times.
I've heard
times.
The one where you ran someone over, and I've heard the one where you ran away and hid in your car for a while. Is that the same story?
No.
No.
I'm surprised you haven't heard this one, because this is in my... You know, everyone's got a stock list of stories that they tell all the time? Mm. This is one of them.
Okay.
The listeners will be texting in going, oh, I've heard this, yeah, boring.
So, what did you do, just stop?
Yeah, I just stopped until the cat went, but it just actually came and sat underneath the car.
Were you there, like, under the car? Going,
on the second point of the three-point turn. So, I think that's why I failed.
Of course.
It's 6:51. That was I Need You Tonight on the Chris Moore Show with Scott Mills. What are you doing this morning? Let me know. 81199. Fraser, trucking up to Inverness, has been in shorts since 4 this morning. Blue skies in Perth, mate. He's trucking up to Inverness.
Why is he Somerset?
I don't know, because he's in Scotland.
Maybe he's trucked all the way from Taunton Town.
Thanks for my chemical romance. I'm awake now. That's from Lottie. Pete from Sheffield is setting up his fruit shop. Good morning. Anastasia is 14. She's put her age on, from Cambridgeshire. Please play Justin Bieber. I need to help wake me up. Okay, well, played him yesterday. Dear Scott is coming up after 7.
Sorry for that laughing. The one that doesn't speak thought that setting up a fruit shop was funny. Right, I'm not sure that's a euphemism, is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Look that up.
I laughed. I was so tired yesterday that also where I was in the doctor's, someone said, I'll come through with my USB stick and plug
funny,
it in your
it?
Machine. And I was in hysterics. I had to leave.
See, it's Thursday.
Since when has USB stick been funny?
Not ever. It's Thursday where the slight delirium sets in and the one that doesn't speak finds setting up a fruit shop funny.
The one that doesn't speak is going to go and join the ballet, have you heard?
What?
I'm not sure if I was meant to mention it. Well, last night...
Are you running off to join the ballet? Oh, he doesn't want us to talk about this, does he?
He says it's fine. I think he needs a bit more practice. Basically, he went to the ballet last night.
What? You went to the ballet?
He loves it now. He wasn't sure yesterday, and then he texted me this morning going, I love the ballet so much, I'm going to go and be a ballerina.
Are men ballerinas? Yeah. I just cannot see him at the ballet. You weren't in it. You were watching, right?
Yeah, with his little binoculars.
I want to know more about this. Doesn't seem the type, does he?
I was
he?
Worried this morning he was going to come in a leotard. That would have been a combo, you
well,
and
yeah.
your
You thought you had to worry with my...
him in his leotard.
Me with my faux leather gilet and my bum skin. It was him in a leotard. Hello, ladies. Right, quite a lot of people have been on wanting to know when you're going to rap Pitbull, because we did promise yesterday.
Yes.
If you missed this, Becky has an amazing knack of being able to learn raps in songs like that. What's the one? Caravan.
Timberland.
Yeah, that's yeah, you know that one.
Yeah.
Back of the Magnum.
That's
back
the Busta Rhymes rapping Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, you know that one.
I do.
And we set her the task of learning the Pitbull rap in Jennifer Lopez's song, On the Flow. Have you done it?
I tried, yes.
Okay. Hear that soon. That's all four people that texted in wanting to hear that.
I know, what a tease.
It's coming up.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Morning, Emily in Bristol, where it's Gert Lush. Laura in Lincoln says, today is Ladies' Day for me. Okay, good. And Eleni in Norfolk, who says, I'm in my dorm getting ready for school. It's really, really sunny outside. Yay! And it's nearly the weekend. It's Radio 1. Okay, Becky has immense skills at learning raps in songs, as you're about to find out. You do, you can just
do it. I never said I was good, I just said I knew them.
Every time I play a song with a rap in it, right, under her breath, she's going... And I'm looking at her mouth and I'm like, oh my God, you actually know all the words to this rap. Mm. So let's see if you do.
I can't promise great things.
Your homework last night. It's a bit early. Maybe we'll do it a bit later on as well.
I know. If I get it wrong, I'm blaming the time.
Have you got newfound respect for Pitbull now?
Do you know what I do, actually? It's
you
quite
doubted
hard.
His talents before,
did.
Didn't you? But now, it's harder than you think.
And it's harder in West Country as well.
Yeah. Okay, so here is Pitbull from the Jennifer Lopez track, On the Floor.
Let me introduce you to my party people in the club.
I'm loose. And everybody knows I got off the train, baby, it's the truth. I'm like Inception, I play with your brain. Don't sleep, I snooze, snooze. Don't play games, so I don't get it confused, no. Because you will lose, yeah? Now pump it up and back it up like a Tonka truck, darling.
Yes!
Scott Mills. BBC.
Radio 1.
Chunky's been on saying, wow, Becky may be balding, but she really can rap.
Radio 1.
podcasts. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hello.
You right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Where are you?
I'm in my house, well, it's Ballycastle in Northern Ireland.
Okay, and we just played Kesha, and that song is going to be in your life again today, isn't it?
Yeah, my drama performance.
Oh, were you dancing to it?
Yeah, I had to dance to it with a few girls out of my class.
Was that the first song you heard on Radio 1 this morning?
Yeah, that's the first song I heard.
How weird.
I know.
So what's your drama performance today, then?
It's a play called Dream Jobs, and I had to do it for my GCSE.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I'm very nervous.
Oh, so is it the actual one you're going to be marked on today?
Yeah.
Oh, God, good luck.
Thank you.
Oh, well, it's a good sign, I reckon, then. If you woke up to it, that means it's going to be good.
Hopefully. I hope.
Exactly. It's meant to be. If that was the first song you heard when you woke up this morning, it's all good.
Yeah.
All right, have a good day. Love you.
Thanks very much.
Love you, bye. Aw. It's 7:15. Here's my favourite bit of the David Hasselhoff interview, which happened yesterday. Well, seems like a bit of a dream, really, but then it does when he comes in.
He just comes in, it's like a whirlwind,
it
and then
is.
He's gone again.
It's like a Hoff tornado. And here's what he said about two of our favourite Irish people.
Who are and what are Jedwards?
What are Jedwards, plural?
I mean, what are they? Are they like little aliens? And they kept talking to me, and they look exactly alike. And I'm going, and I said, you know, I don't drink anymore, but I'm still seeing double.
Yeah.
You know.
They are the human ice gems.
They're really nice kids.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Can they sing?
Well,
that's not nice.
Come on. No, I'm going to be honest with you.
They're very nice people.
They're very nice people. So that's on the podcast. The whole Hoff interview from yesterday is on the Scott Mills Daily podcast now. If you missed any of our stuff from this week, get online and download it for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Who are and what are Jedwards?
Jedward sent the most bizarre tweet yesterday. Do you follow them, Planet Jedward?
No, I don't, but I should.
You really should. It said, does anyone know what the time is? And because it's Jedward, you kind of know they're not even joking.
Who are and what are Jedwards?
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts. Podcasts.
Got something to say to us? Then this is where Dear Scott comes in. You send me an email with Dear Scott in the subject to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. The posh woman off Radio 4 reads them out. We answer whatever it is you've got to say. It's simple. Send one in today. We're doing this all this week and next week as well, when we're in for Moyles.
Dear Scott, Becky and team, I've been meaning to write to you for a while. I wanted to tell you why it's never a good idea to assume that everyone listens to your show. To be honest, it's rare for me to talk about your show with anyone. However, I recently had some physio treatment on a knee injury, and the physio asked me a few questions about the exercises I was doing. For one exercise, she asked me how many repetitions I did. I couldn't resist it. In my best Brucey voice, I stated, 40 of those, and smiled.
I love it when she tries to do things like that.
40 of those.
It's my favourite clip ever.
40 of those. 40 of those.
This is from that documentary they did about Bruce Forsyth a while ago, where he was explaining his exercise routine, which basically just involves him slapping his thighs 40 times.
40 of those.
40 of those.
It is quite hard to do. I'm not sure the benefits of it, but it does actually hurt
what
after
is it?
A while.
I've always heard this clip and always wondered what it actually is.
I'll show you now.
You can get to about 10 and then it starts to sting.
40 of those.
But you're quite literally just slapping your thighs.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's hard.
He's an 85-year-old man. That's enough exercise for him.
The look I received back was part confusion, part you're a weirdo. I tried to explain about you, your show, and the whole Bruce Forsyth thing, but I ended up sounding even more strange.
Yeah.
We then had to go and use some of the gym equipment. I was on the treadmill and noticed a sign on the wall next to the machine. It read, "For the consideration of other users, please wipe down your equipment after use." I found this mildly amusing and laughed. I made a comment to the physio about your show and innuendo bingo. I realised I'd done it again, more strange looks and an awkward silence. I finished the session without booking another appointment. I think it's best I just wait for my knee to heal itself. Love you all. Kevin, off of London.
Kevin, off of London? I hear what you're saying. Some people just don't get it, do they?
That is clutching at straws, that one, though, isn't it?
What?
Please wipe down your equipment after use.
God's sake.
Makes me laugh.
Next.
Dear Scott, Totso, Becky, Chris and lovely posh lady. When the Tudors first started, I was watching it with my mother, thinking it was going to be a nice costume drama suitable for watching with aforementioned mother. When Henry VIII first came on screen, I said, "Oh, he looks like my brother." She agreed. This made the following scene with King Henry VIII getting it on with some hot lady about a billion times worse. Ah! Lots of love, Sarah, off of Blythe, XX.
How V embarrassing.
What was that noise she just made?
Har.
Ah.
I think it was a ah. It should have been more like that.
Oh,
it
came less out as, pirate, more
came
scary.
Out as har.
Yeah.
Sounded like something off the Tudors.
Har.
Ah.
Next.
Dear Scott, Becky and the one that doesn't speak. I was watching the incredibly addictive red button footage of the marathon show and couldn't help but notice Becky's headphones have been labelled Beck's Hux.
What's your name?
I have only seen Scott and Becky wear them. Is this so that ear germs are not spread throughout Radio 1? Becky, are you comfortable with Scott's ear germs? Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. Bethan off of Bridgend, XXX.
Cheers, Bethan. Nice Home and Away reference at the end. I never wear your headphones.
You do sometimes. Well, you've got... Sometimes if yours broke recently, didn't they? So I had to get them fixed. But yours have got a picture of you on the side.
That's right.
And mine have got Bex Hux written on them. And then the one that doesn't speak just has his name as well. But I think it is because... Oh, no, he's using Sarah Cox's ones.
Is that what S... Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
But is this a health and safety thing then? Because I'm, at the moment, wearing Becky's... Headphones.
I know, and they're going to stick like mad to me because you've got so much gel in your hair that those are going to be rank. I'm going to have to wipe down your equipment before I use it.
No, he's using wax now on my recommendation.
Good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he sorted you out. The thing
brought him into the 2000s.
The thing about borrowing someone else's headphones is once I borrowed Trevor Nelson's ones after he'd used them. And I think it must have been quite a hot day because they were slightly... I put them on and they were soaking
moist.
Wet, basically. And I've had a phobia ever since, and now I have to have like little furry ones rather than the slick, leathery ones because it just reminds me of Trevor.
Who are you
Trevor,
wearing at the moment?
Who am I wearing?
Yeah. Who are you wearing?
Well, you've got mine.
They're not J.K. and Joel's, are they? There are some ones that used to belong to J.K. and Joel, and then no one touches those.
Oh, yeah. Are they the ones with that rude symbol on the side that ended up on Newsround or
yes.
on the telly?
Yeah, no one realised there was a rude thing on the side in Tippex.
Yeah, we often label them with Tippex, and someone had drawn a winky, Greg's yeah. winky. Someone had drawn a depiction of Greg's winky.
Yeah, that was on Newsround.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Anything else you want to tell us? Anything else you want to know? This is where we can help. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's my email. For Dear Scott.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Becky, you need to learn that Busta Rhymes rap.
Yes.
That would be a good... That is a challenge. It's quite fast. We're saying Becky has this amazing knack of just being able to pick up raps in songs like that. If you missed it earlier... Oh, I can't clip my fingers like that. If you missed it earlier, she has already performed the Pitbull rap in J-Lo's On The Floor. We'll do it again for you later if you missed it. You don't want to miss this. Keep listening. In other news, we have made the first part of our Fly on the Wall documentary. You know, there's so many of them on TV at the moment, like The Model Agency. Now, this one features my friend Chris and his life around Pinner in northwest London. Now, not much happened in it, but I think it's shaping up to be quite good. And a bit of a scoop, we have got David Hasselhoff on board to be the narrator. Now, we're just putting it together today. I'm going to play some bits for you after 8 o'clock. I think it's shaping up to be quite good. I think it might even be better than the Model Agency. Okay, well, maybe not, but I think it might give Kerry Katona a run for her money, definitely. So if you're listening, TV commissioners, make sure you're here just after 8 o'clock. We're finishing editing it today, but I'm going to give you a sneak preview of our Fly on the Wall documentary, It's Chris. And the idea is we're going to sell it to the highest bidder.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, normally, I read through the newspapers when I get into Radio 1 at this time in the morning. But this week, making my job a whole lot easier is smooth-talking Dan, because I've got him to do it for me instead. As you know, reading the papers in the morning is a terrible hardship, so it saves me a bit of extra time. So what happens is Dan writes down any interesting stories that he spots in any of the tabloids. Don't really go through the broadsheets so much.
Nah.
And some of the summaries that he writes down, to be honest, don't exactly tell the whole story of what's going on. They're slightly cryptic, Dan, you know?
Mm.
The one the other day that I liked, Nicole Scherzinger's mum is not a fan of Sting. That was a story in the paper. But that's all I knew. What was that story?
I mean, that was the crux of it.
But what was the rest of it?
I think they were at some sort of bash, and she blanked Sting. She was more interested in the cupcakes or whatever.
Great.
So, yeah, that was it, really.
Good.
I love this paper review.
So it has turned into a full-on kind of paper review / showbiz sleaze. I feel like we're doing a proper breakfast show. Dan Sleaze. So, here are some of the headlines that Dan's got for us today. Some of the stories you'll want to know about as you're waking up and going to work or school, but the ones that probably aren't being covered by Tulip on Newsbeat. Okay, so first up, Russell Brand will gatecrash the royal wedding dressed as the Queen. Dan?
That is pretty much as it says. I mean, yesterday, Katy Perry said that she's going to gatecrash, so Russ is getting in on the action. Yeah. He's decided that the best way... I mean, obviously, the Queen's going to get an automatic invite.
You'd think so.
Yeah, so if he dresses up as her, he should get through security without too much of a fuss.
Right, someone needs to tell him it's probably not going to be that easy. Next, all of Lady Gaga's tattoos are on one side of her body.
Apparently that's true. out of respect to her dad, apparently her dad wanted half of her to be kind of normal. So it's quite an interesting concept. Half of us tattooed and... Yeah,
good. Next one. Now, this is a typical one from you. Prince Charles may be taking Nadine Coyle's place in Girls Aloud.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about if this is 100% true.
Right, well, what is it?
Well, basically, Prince Charles met Cheryl and Kimberly at a Princess Trust Awards do. That's it, really.
Oh, okay.
The paper implied that he was in, taking Nadine's place, but I don't know if I believe that one so much.
No.
I'd love it, though, if we hadn't got Dan in to clarify, you'd have just read these out as fact.
Well, yeah, that's why I wanted to get him in, because it's like, that makes absolutely no sense, Dan. Why would Prince Charles ever be in Girls Aloud?
He'd look out of place, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lily Allen is on the lookout for a new pooper scooper.
Hmm. She's got a puppy called Dermot, who's not house trained yet. Apparently, all sorts around the house of mess.
Mm.
Needs a pooper scooper.
Well, she could just go to a shop.
That's the story.
All right. Eliza Doolittle has nightmares of going bald.
Revealed on Daybreak. Her dad's bald. And she literally's having nightmares that she'll go the same way.
Right.
But her hair's actually quite thick. So
it is. Mariah Carey has hired a pet psychiatrist.
Mm. Now, she's got Jack Russell's, and she's pregnant, due to give birth.
Mm.
Not the puppet. She is, Mariah Carey. And she's worried that when she gives birth to, I think, twins, the Jack Russells will get jealous. So getting the pet psychiatrist to sort of get them ready. Because you know what it's like when there's a new kid on the block.
I'm just wondering Dad's experience of giving birth to twins whilst having Jack Russells.
It's a nightmare.
And Craig David gives boxer David Haye a run for his money.
Hello, muscles, it also said in it. Basically, they did some trainings together in Miami. Craig had his top off.
It was, always.
It was something else.
And that's it. Cool. Well, there we are. There's Dan's paper review, everybody. Very good. Smooth talking, Dan. All those headlines explained. There we are.
The
The Scott Mills Daily.
Some quite exciting news. Remember we were playing some clips of Gemma, the new girl from The Only Way Is Essex the other day. Another new character has just emailed me called Ashley. Love that show. I missed it again last night. Are you a fan, Tulip?
I saw a little bit of it last night. I can't watch it for too long because it just... What?
What?
What? I don't understand the concept. I've only dipped in and out of it, but they're obviously...
People say this to me all the time. Yeah. Okay, so they're real people, yeah, right? But they are put in situations where they may have to act a little bit. So let's say that you and me were in a bakery or something.
Right.
So they would just go, right, off you go and see what happens.
Yeah, but that's not a natural conversation, is it? That's not real.
No, and that it really comes across on the show, I think.
That's what I mean. It's just bizarre. It's just like someone's got a camera in front of two people and they're just in there going, so are
pretty
you,
much. But that's why it's brilliant. Anyway, Ashley, email me back and let me know who you are in the new, because he's not been on yet. Is it he or she? I don't know. But you've not been on yet. I think Ashley's in next week's episodes, but I'm very excited by it. And Gemma, who does listen to the show as well, who works at the car dealership, is my new favourite person in life, generally. He knows what to do with the wines and all that. Lady Gaga coming up, and also we'll play a bit of Chipmunk, and we will reveal to you the first part of our new Fly on the Wall documentary, which I'm getting bids of up to 50p for now. It's called It's Chris, and it's about my mate Chris. Not much happens, but then have you seen The Only Way Is Essex? It's all fine.
Radio 1 Podcast.
You know how everything is about the Fly on the Wall documentary these days, like the model agency? There's so many of them on TV, aren't there?
They are amazing. I'm addicted.
So today we can present to you the first episode of my friend Chris's Fly on the Wall documentary called It's Chris. How's that feel? How's that make you feel?
I'm still not completely convinced by this whole thing.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
It's awful.
Was it not your idea?
No, it wasn't. No. It was these guys.
Oh, I thought you'd gone, I want a documentary, get me a documentary, and then you made Dougsy film
you. I think when you see this documentary, you'll see that it's really not. Have you
I
seen
think
it?
It's great. I would say it's better than the model agency. All they do is pout and smoke.
Yeah, I mean, there's no smoking in my documentary.
Oh, and cry, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no crying in my documentary either. It is awful.
Yesterday, we managed to get David Hasselhoff on board as the narrator. Yeah. Have that, Michael Burke. He does the Pineapple Dance Studios.
I knew.
I can't believe he agreed to this.
He didn't really agree. I just shoved it in his face and went, read this.
Had he actually seen it before he did the voiceover?
No.
Does he know what he's put his name to?
No.
Right.
I love him even more for that. That he'll just read out random words that you tell him to, Scott, and he just does it.
Dave, just read this.
That doesn't happen much in the showbiz world anymore, does it? Normally you have to get clearance and go through loads of people, but Hoffy just does it.
Are you telling me that Michael Burke saw Pineapple Dance Studios before and thought, oh, I'd love to be the voice of that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Wow. So here is the first bit of It's Chris, our Fly on the Wall documentary.
Right, it's the morning of my new Fly on the Wall documentary.
It's morning, and another busy day for Chris.
Just had a shower, and now I'm going to go and make some breakfast. Good times.
So that's the opener.
I've never known them on the model agency to go, hi, and welcome to the model agency, a documentary where we're being filmed. I think the whole point of it is that you don't acknowledge that you're...
It was because I'd woken up first, so before I'd gone round to Dougsy's, I obviously didn't have a film crew following me, so I had to film myself with my camera phone.
One thing Chris likes to do every day, sometimes twice...
What?
What's wrong?
It's fine.
I can't...
Listen.
Is it finished?
One thing Chris likes to do every day, sometimes twice... is brush his teeth.
What's wrong with her?
Are you all right?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, the water's fine. I know it sounds like a horse wee, but the water's fine. It's just the sound of other people brushing their teeth. I never realised I didn't like it until I heard that.
One thing Chris likes to do every day, sometimes twice,
is brush his teeth.
It really freaks you out.
I can't be the only person. That is just horrible.
What happens when you brush your teeth then?
That's fine.
What about your boyfriend?
What happens when you brush your boyfriend?
I don't know.
No.
I don't brush his teeth. We don't have that sort of relationship. I don't know. I've never noticed it before, but that really loud is horrible.
Right, here's where Dougsy comes in.
This is an exciting day for Chris.
Dougsy.
He wakes up his friend Dougsy before noon.
Dougsy, we need to get up now.
filming to do. It's a new date. Ready? Come on. Come on. Come on.
Is that a Dougsy or is that a cow?
Dougsy a cow?
No. I know it sounds like livestock. But
what's more worrying is that strange slapping thing you have to do to him to get him up, which...
Come on, Dougs. Here's a cow.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
This is an exciting day for Chris.
Dougsy.
He wakes up his friend Dougsy before...
Listen.
Dougsy, we need to get up now. Filming today. It's a new date. Ready?
It's a few short slaps to the thighs.
40 of those.
40 of those.
Ready?
So he's woken Dougsy up, and now they're out the house.
After playing their soccer game, Chris and Dougsy head out.
We are now going to get breakfast.
To the generic popular bakery in northwest London.
But we're going to a generic popular baker's in northwest London.
Were you worried about mentioning too many brand names in this documentary?
Yes, because the day I was filming, you told me don't get any brands in shot.
What did you... I've only ever seen you in sportswear, so what are you wearing in the documentary?
I think I'd looked for a plain jumper, actually, so that we were okay.
When you're watching this documentary, you'll notice that Chris's mate, Dougsy, who is the cameraman, every time he sees, like, a shop or any kind of brand name, you'll see the camera just quickly go to the floor because he's well aware that you can't actually film any.
But the funny thing about that is every time he moves the camera to the floor, you see his trainers.
Yeah.
And they're well appetized throughout.
Yeah.
Didn't think of that. Sorry.
Unfortunately, Dougsy is having problems being the cameraman.
Why not? I can't even keep your head in shot. This is it. It's not even the quality of what we're filming. It's not even that that's poor. It's that you are a poor filmmaker as well. So the two combined is a leading
most of this journey has had half of your head in the shot.
Well, why can't you just film it?
Because I'm walking. If I walk, it goes like this. I can't walk without... I can't hover, can I?
I love your bickering.
He really started to wind me up after a while, actually.
Oh, yeah. Was he not getting your best angle?
It's not even the best angle. I don't understand how hard it is to point a camera at someone, but he seemed to find problems with it.
But I like it because we've got some bickering in. And if you watch all those ITV2 ones, like there's always bickering on the Katie Price one with whoever it is at the time, Alex Reed.
Yeah,
Peter
but he's
Andre.
Not. Tuxie's not my partner.
No, it doesn't matter. We've still got bickering, so we can sell this. The right. Kerry Katona one, she's always having an argument with Mac. Anyway. Here we are in northwest London again.
It's Chris's guide to Pinner.
And we look really stupid. There's a guy in a lorry sitting looking at us, and I'm walking around filming you.
Hold on, try and give an explanation. That was the centre of the Wasteland campaign during the X Factor. Exciting times. And here we are at the War Memorial.
So in that bit, we see the headquarters of the Katie Wasteland campaign during last year's X Factor.
Yes, which again, is on a Penn shop. High Street. It is a shop run by her family.
Do you know what they're doing with all the leftover Katie Wasteland shirts, mugs, badges?
I think they're still selling them, but at a cheaper rate.
So that's it. The first episode of It's Chris.
I wouldn't watch this.
You will watch it, guarantee it.
And very probably the last.
I will watch it because I've filmed it.
This bacon is ragged.
No, it's nice. Nice bacon. I'll have yours if you don't want it.
So there we are. That's the first episode of It's Chris.
Do you think we'll get to a second?
Well... hopefully, there are TV commissioners listening to this right now. If there are, and I know they do listen in the morning, obviously. Please, Mr. BBC Three... sorry, no, Mr. BBC One, let's reach for this. I want you to come in with your bid for It's Chris.
I don't think anyone's going to want this. You're telling me that people might...
Right. Hush your gums.
All right. Hasn't even got a theme tune, Scott.
No, it doesn't matter. Let's all get together, have a live auction. You can all shout huge numbers, and whoever shouts the biggest number closes the bid. Well, didn't we meet the new bloke from BBC Three came around the office the other day, didn't he?
Remember? Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Oh. And he...
What?
What did you do?
Do you fancy him?
No, I... No, I can't remember what I was saying, but I think I said something like, oh, have you seen this? And obviously he has, if it's on his actual channel.
Oh. Oh, you didn't realise?
No. I hope I said it was good. I can't. Yeah. I've got a habit of doing that. Like, do you remember when Connie Huck was going out with Richard Bacon, like, back in the day, and he came to my university and I said, oh, I don't think Connie's very good on TV. And bless him, he sat there and he didn't say anything. He was like,
That's my girlfriend.
And then afterwards someone told me, I was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you. That is all...
I'm the queen of putting your foot in it.
So I think we need to get that man on board. He's a very nice man. Radio 1.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
This is the Chris Moyle Show with Scott Mills. Favourable reaction, generally, to the first episode of It's Chris, our fly on the wall documentary. James says he's strangely hooked already, even though not much has happened. Tim in Swindon asks, does Peaches Geldof appear at any point? No plans to, but we could always write her in. Like, we've only done episode one.
Write her in. It's not scripted.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
No.
And Craig is offering £2 and a cuddle for the bid for this show.
With who? With you or with Chris?
Doesn't say. Let's wait for the TV commissioners to come in to get the big bids going, shall we? Most of the techs are agreeing that the sound of other people brushing their teeth is horrible and that you're right.
One thing Chris likes to do every day, sometimes twice, is brush his teeth.
People really hate that.
Oh, it is horrible.
Sorry for playing that again.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts. Podcasts.
Dan.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
What's going on?
Not a lot. I did see the Royal Wedding sticker album in the car the other day.
There's what?
There's a Royal Wedding sticker album.
Is there?
There definitely is.
What, so it's like I've got two Prince Williams, I'll swap you for a Prince Philip.
I'll swap you for a corgi, or whatever the dogs are called.
Swap you for a corgi?
Have you got one, Dan?
No, I haven't. I
couldn't
pick it up.
Oh, I hate that when that happens.
I was going to ask him if he had a Middleton Shiny he'd give me.
So this is going to be like when you were trying to collect the stickers for the World Cup.
Yeah, but like a zillion times better.
Yeah.
This is amazing. It's going to have Kate Middleton Shinies.
God, we're going to lose you for the next 3 months while you try and... do some deal with the people at Radio 2 who have also got a sticker album.
No, I was going for very important meetings.
Is that where you were going all that time?
Yes, with the Chris Evans Breakfast Show team. They were very important meetings.
Right, and you would just swap stickers with them in that time?
Yeah, it was amazing. One of the producers had a whole like biscuit tin full. And then the one that doesn't speak kids were well into it. They had like piles and piles.
Do you think the one that doesn't speak kids are going to be as into the Royal Wedding sticker album? I'm not sure they will. I don't think so much. But you're loving it already.
I'm onto it. I need to get one.
Thanks for letting us know about that, Dan. Sorry you got cut off. It's 8:45. Do you know what I think we should do again? Some more bootlegs. I liked this yesterday.
Oh, Chris's one.
Yeah. Well, this is a Radio 4 thing, apparently. So thank you very much to them. So highbrow, isn't it? So highbrow. What you do is you put lyrics of one song over the tune of another. So, for instance, this is my mate Chris yesterday. He is singing I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside with the lyrics of Rude Boy by Rihanna.
Come on, Rude Boy. Boy, can you get it up?
Boy!
Come here, Rude Boy. Is you big enough? Take it, baby, baby. Take it, love me. Come here, Rude Boy. Can you get it up?
Oi!
We need to do some more, I think, in a minute. I've got some more ideas.
Podcast.
So my show and tell yesterday was the idea of doing live bootlegs, where you mash up two songs together. So you get the words of a current song and put those words to generally the back of your something a lot older. Now, there are debates going on about who invented this, whether it was Radio 4, who've been doing it for years, apparently, but probably not with Rihanna's Rude Boy like we did yesterday, or whether it was Cliff Richard and the Millennium Prayer, where he mashed up the Lord's Prayer and Auld Lang Syne.
What a mash-up.
I'd like to do some more. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yes.
So this was suggested by one of our listeners on text yesterday. I have here an old song, which you might recognise, called The Birdie Song. It goes like this. And I'm going to mash that up with the lyrics of If I Were a Boy by Beyoncé.
If I were a boy, even just for a day.
You wouldn't think the two would go together, but they do.
I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. bingo.
Does this song mean something to you, Scott? Is that why you're doing it?
What, the birdie song? I've often seen him in the office.
Go for it.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I'd kick it with who I wanted and I'd never get confronted for it because they stick up for me. Oh, if I were a boy, I think I could understand how it feels to love a girl. Oh, I swear I'd be a better man, everybody. If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning. That's enough.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. You've taken some tips off Chris there, haven't you, for that one, and gone all Cockney.
Went a bit Cockney.
Wow, that was something else.
Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like that.
Thank you.
What I loved most is that you're still doing the birdie song hand movements, yeah. Like, but with you, and the, what you were singing then made it look like... If I were a boy, I'd squeeze some boobs.
Okay, Chris, do you want to have a go?
I'll give it a whirl,
oh, I
yeah.
like your ones, Chris.
So this is another one suggested by our listeners. You're doing the song Summer Holiday. Once again, Cliff Richard makes an appearance on the show.
Oh, I love this one.
It's the second time that Cliff's been on in 2 days. We're all going on. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah, okay.
To the lyrics of I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by Arctic Monkeys.
Right, okay. Stop making the eyes at me, and I'll stop making the eyes at you. And what it is that surprises me is that I don't really want you to. Don't really want you to. And your shoulders are frozen. Oh, but you're an explosion, you're dynamite. Your name isn't Rio, but I don't care for sand. And lighting the fuse might result in a bang, bang, bang. Go, I bet you look good on the dance floor. I don't know if you're looking for romance or I don't know what you're looking for. I said, I bet that you look good on the dance floor. Like a robot from 1984.
Yeah!
That wasn't easy, man.
No. Good, though.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. Hello?
Hi, Scott. It's Emily here.
Hello, Emily. Where are you right now?
I am at Portsmouth University, and I've been trying to get my work done. I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning, but I've been laughing so hard at the mashup that I've had to step outside.
Oh, their library's probably not the best place, is it?
No, it's not.
So have you got your headphones in listening, have you?
Yeah, I've been plugged into the computer listening, but I have actually been laughing out loud, so I've had to come outside.
Lols. Shall I play one for you now?
Yeah, do it.
I like the Rude Boy one, do you?
Yeah.
Come on, rude boy. Boy, can you get it up? Come here, rude boy. Is you big enough?
Such a simple idea.
Take it, baby, baby. Take it. Love me. Come here, rude boy. Can you get it up?
Oi! any other suggestions that people have got? We can do these tomorrow. Thanks, Radio 4, for your amazing idea. When are you planning to get any work done?
I don't know. I've got a lecture at 10.
So okay,
I'm
good. So,
not get much done.
No, really not. You've got 50 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I'll see you later. Love you. Bye.
All right, love you. Bye.
Bye.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
Went for a jacuzzi yesterday.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
You've changed.
Not really. It was just in my gym. They've got like a, next to the swimming pool, they've got like a jacuzzi thing.
Oh, so you one of those ones that says, oh, I'm going to the gym, and then just sits in the jacuzzi for half an hour and then
yeah.
has a donut because you've worked out so hard.
That's right.
I used to love doing that when I was at uni.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
And you can convince yourself that you've actually been to the gym.
You feel so good about yourself.
But really, what you've done is just watch people do some lengths in the pool while you sat in the jacuzzi. Yes. I've got a thing, though. You know when there's someone in the jacuzzi already? Don't like that.
Why?
I just don't like it.
What, in case
you get... Because it's small and it's like, oh, we've touched toes. Oh, it's weird. I don't like it. However, if you go with a friend, like I did, it's that thing where if you both go in there, there's an uncomfortable couple of minutes where you're in there and it's a three.
Yeah.
But then that other person that's on their own, who you don't know, will always get out.
Because you've intimidated them so much. So
well, there is an uncomfortable minute and there was toe-touching going on. I was like, oh, this is weird. But I was just kind of looking over my shoulder towards the swimming pool area, hoping they'll get out. 2 minutes later, out. We had it to ourselves.
What were you talking about?
We didn't talk. We were just like, mm-hmm. Because I said...
That's weird. I couldn't sit. Like, it's effectively like having a bath with someone, isn't it?
A bit. It's a bit intimate.
Like, you've got to make small talk, or have you? I don't understand the rules of the jacuzzi.
It's when there's someone else there, you're like, right, if two of us go in a minute, they'll get out. And they always do.
Why, what are you doing to them under the water?
You're not doing anything.
Tickling their toes.
It's just that they feel intimidated. It's a bit like when you're in a pub and there's like maybe a couple of people sat there and then you swarm in and go, can I just sit on the edge here of the table?
Yeah.
They will move within minutes. It works every time.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Becky.
Yes?
Chris.
All right.
Let's do some more Dear Scott. It's the Posh Radio 4 lady with the stuff that you have been saying to us on email.
Dear Scott, Becky, PR4L, TOTDS and Chris. I just wanted to tell you how much I'm enjoying the recent Home and Away feature you and Chris have been taking part in.
Cheers, love.
After not having too much success from the places, I was thinking maybe I could suggest a few places to try out.
Yes, we're always looking for new suggestions of places to do it.
So far, I know you've been to the post office, a Swedish cafe, a hairdresser, and even tried it on a bus. I would like to suggest the following places. A well-known train station, brackets Euston. An arcade, kids always join in. Maybe you could even go on the London Eye, but do it right at the end, otherwise it could be very awkward for 30 minutes.
Really good.
And my final suggestion is at an arrivals gate at an airport. Food for thought, anyway. Chris, may I also add how well I think you do when you're singing. You really go all out when you get to the line, I'm walking on air. Scott, take note. Anyway, love the show and look forward to the next instalment. Sheepy in Chester.
Cheers, Sheepy.
No, sorry. Isn't that what they call those standing at wee things for girls? Yes. Or do you think he means like the fluffy thing in the field? All I can think of is the...
Sheepy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a she-wee.
Oh, she-wee, yeah.
I like it how you know, Chris.
Off of festivals.
That could be your spin-off there. You could go into business with one of them.
I do admire the way that you just go for it on the I'm walking on air bit.
I'm walking on air just to know.
Just to know.
That you're there.
Everybody.
Hold me in your arms.
It's fair to say that I pull back more than that. I'm too scared.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Moyles pulling a sort of critique in my performance on the Moyles Marathon.
He didn't critique it. He just said, did Scott get money from Comic Relief for looking after you?
Yeah. How rude.
No, he asked if there was something wrong with you.
I was trying to gloss over that. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Next.
Dear Scott, I've got my sister a book on the greatest serial killers and a night mask for her birthday. Good combination?
Perfect, I think.
Why? What? Have I missed something there? What? Why is that?
Well, I would like a book on serial killers. My birthday coming up next week. I love all those programmes on the... Do you not ever watch that Crime and Investigation channel? Brilliant.
So you want me to get you a book on serial killers for your birthday?
I wouldn't mind at all. It would be up there with a good present of mine, I think, yeah.
And what do you want on your nice sleep mask? Virgin Atlantic or Princess?
I don't really do sleep masks. I don't see the point.
Is that what
close your eyes.
Is that the same
as
a night mask?
Well, yeah, you normally only get them from aeroplanes or, like, girly ones.
I've never seen a manly one. Just close your eyes is my tip.
Ooh.
The one that didn't speak thought it was one of those... those ones like off of jousting.
What, like an actual knight?
Yeah, a knight mask.
What, like chainmail type?
Yeah, I don't think it's
Why
that.
Why would you want one of them?
I think it's just like off of planes.
To protect herself against the serial killers. That reminds me when we were doing the musical and the one that doesn't speak asked someone upstairs to get a heavy metal wig and she was also trying to find like a chainmail rather than one of those like rock ones.
Next!
Dear Scott, after hearing your segment on the laughing at nothing in certain songs, I'd like to add a couple of my own observations.
We were saying this. In a lot of R&B tracks at the moment, pop R&B tracks, there are people, normally the person who's doing the song, laughing for no particular reason.
Pitbull's a big fan of this, isn't he?
Wiz Khalifa does it on Black and Yellow.
It's ruined a whole genre of music for me, knowing this now.
Usher. He has a good old laugh at the DJ at the end of his song.
Yeah. Thank you, DJ.
Pitbull's a very big culprit of this.
It's Mr. 305 checking in for the remix. Well, this year's going to be called Gaiocho.
Not even funny, is it?
What? This year's going to be called Gaiocho.
Here's the formula for one of these songs. 1. Mention the club. It's a magical place where everything is possible. Everyone is in the club, and the club does seem to be the place where all of the magic happens.
It's true, you have to be in the club, putting your drinks up in the club. Mm.
2. Draw comparisons to heartbeats with drum machines, preferably the Roland 808. Everyone loves this, and I, for one, think it's incredible modern poetry.
It is. Heartbeat like an 808.
What does that mean, sorry?
It's like a drum machine. So it's a drum machine that sounds like a heartbeat.
It's another one of those things that you've probably never noticed, but now we've told you.
It's going to bug me, yeah.
It's in quite a lot of these songs. Mm.
Right. 3. Always, always shout your name at the beginning of a song. With nearly every song having a false laugh at the start, a mention of the legendary club, and a drum machine comparison, people may well get confused as to who they're listening to, so drop in a little reminder.
Absolutely, you can't say your name enough.
4. Include a small advert for the producer of your record, perhaps just a repeating of his, her initials, just before the name shouting and laughing. This will let anyone who is listening and fancies a crack at making this sort of thing know exactly where to go, and although strictly not allowed on the BBC, they seem to let it slide, so why not?
That's so true, isn't it? They're all doing that.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, JJJJJR.
And Red One.
Red One.
So, in summary, producer's free advert, name shouting / singing, false laughing, club mentioning, drum machine comparing... Simples. There. Now that's how it's done, so let's all get out there and make a few quid. Love, Jason, off of Portsmouth.
Thank you, Jason.
But damn, he's hot.
You're not wrong.
Now watch me make a movie like Albert Hitchcock. Enjoy me.
Those are the steps you need to make one of these songs. Everybody's doing it. Ha ha. JR. Is his name Jason?
Love, Jason, off of Portsmouth.
Jason. Is that... Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo. Or it might be Jojo.
From Portsmouth.
Is he from Portsmouth?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes things. I thought it was LA or something.
No, this Jason guy is from Portsmouth.
Oh, I thought you meant Jojo.
No, he's not from Portsmouth. Why would JR be from Pompey?
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
So Hoff was on yesterday, and he said this.
Who are and what are Jedwards?
It's a good question. Also, he is the narrator of our new Fly on the Moor documentary. It's a bit like the Model Agency and all those others that are on the TV at the moment. We're going to finish editing of it today, and I think what we should probably do is put it online on the Radio 1 website before it goes to TV.
Well, doesn't that ruin the exclusivity rights that the big TV companies are bidding for at the moment?
Oh, maybe. I just wanted to kind of put a taster of it online.
Have you had any interest from the TV yet?
No, but they don't get in until like 11, do they? And they go for lunch at like 12. Mm. So, waiting still for the BBC, maybe commissioners or ITV or whoever, Channel 4, to pick up on our Fly on the Wall documentary. Not much happened in it.
I'd love it if it was a fly on the door documentary.
A fly on the door.
Just 3 hours of just a fly on the door.
On a door. So the Hoff's on.
After playing the soccer game, Chris and Dougsy head out.
We are now going to get breakfast.
To the generic popular bakery in northwest London.
But we're going to a generic popular baker's in northwest London.
This is the most rubbish fly on the wall documentary ever.
I don't agree with him. I think that this is going to fly. And then there's the bit with Dougsy being a rubbish cameraman.
Unfortunately, Dougsy is having problems being the cameraman.
Why not?
eh? I can't even keep your head in shot.
This is it. It's not even the quality of what we're filming. It's not even that that's poor. It's that you are a poor filmmaker as well. So the two combined is a leap.
Most of this journey has had half of your head in the shot.
Well, why can't you just film it?
Because I'm walking. If I walk, it goes like this. I can't walk without. I can't hover, can I?
Right, got that? All you need to do is film me walking. It's a fly on the wall documentary.
I'm filming you walking.
It's got everything and more that the Peter Andre one did, the Kerry Katona one, the Katie Price one. It's got drama, it's got arguments, it's got trips to Pinner High Street. We're finishing it today, and that'll be available to view on the Radio 1 website, first of all, before it gets picked up for TV. We'll put episode 1 on the Radio 1 website and then see what the TV interest is. And you'll be able to see that very soon. We're working on it right now. We'll finish editing it today.
Podcast. The best idea has just come in from Wendy in Reading.
Go.
About It's Chris, the new documentary that we're filming. Mm. She says you should film it on one of those scooters old people use, as that would get rid of any of the walking jolts.
That's a brilliant idea.
So just get a mobility scooter and... I'd like Dougsy, but maybe going backwards in a mobility scooter isn't the best. They can pick up some speed, them things.
You used to live in an old people's home, Chris, didn't?
Did you? In Southampton, yeah.
Yeah. Did you find a mobility scooter there?
Is he like Benjamin Button or whatever he's called? Where he like used to be really old and now he's like really young.
No, it was your student accommodation.
It was, yeah. It was a converted old people's home.
I went round there once.
Oh, okay. You weren't living with the old.
It was same brilliant. Yeah. It was brilliant. Because they still had all the stuff in place.
They hadn't really converted it.
No.
Did you still have the stairlift? Because our one at university had the stairlift still in.
Had all the rails, all the signs.
It was brilliant.
It was good.
And you could pull the special thing when you were on the loo. It was brilliant.
And then what happened? Did Chris come running for you?
No, it had been disconnected, but you could still pull it.
I had this brilliant vision of you just sat needing more toilet paper and Chris going, yes, Scott, I'll be here in a minute.
No, I thought it was the chain, see? So I pulled it. I was like, no, that's not the chain. It's just what the older people would have used when it was an old people's home. Now, very exciting, Fern appears already. She's got the Royal Wedding sticker album.
Well, Jill.
I know. So...
how did she get one before us?
I don't know. But we were talking about this earlier. A guy called Dan off of Norfolk phoned up and he was saying that in all good news agents, you can now get the Royal Wedding sticker album. We should do our own one.
What, our own Royal Wedding album?
Well, like maybe we could have like people from the show on it.
Oh, you want a Scott Mills show album?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you could be in.
Right.
You could like get a one that doesn't speak shiny.
Yeah. Have we got enough people? I guess we have. We've got
Smooth Talking Dan.
Yes.
Voice of the Tweets, that would be quite a rare one.
Oh, he'd love to be in a sticker album.
That would be a collector's one. You could have one, Chris.
It
is. I think it's good. It's really good.
Gemma upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got enough people.
Yeah. It'd be quite thin, but I think it'd be good.
What? The Hoff.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, he would love it.
He would love it.
I think we'd probably have to pay him for some merchandise rights, but...
yeah.
Actually, do you know what? We'll just put it in front of him. He'll sign it, won't he?
He does most stuff for free for us, to be honest. It's like he didn't even know that he was narrating It's Chris. I just went, David, just read this. And what is it? Doesn't matter. Just read it. It's fine.
I love your relationship. You're like the dad and he's like the little kid.
Yeah. Okay, I'll read it. That's fine. It's an old man. And he did. No payment required.
Radio 1 Podcast.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.